Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good Tuesday, everybody. Great to have you with us on the show today. Neil Coulong on the Steelers. We're now playing really good football, all kidding aside. Yeah, it's a long year, and they've got a game on Thursday night that I think is going to be as entertaining as any game you can ask for. I think their matchup with Carolina on Thursday night is one of those Thursday night matchups where you sit back and say, okay, yeah, it's worth having Thursday night football. Question is, will the two teams be so beat up after tough physical games on Sunday as whether they can put together the kind of performance that makes you feel good about it? We'll see. We'll talk to Neil about that. James Franklin at his press conference today. Nothing really that revealing in terms of personnel or anything like that. He's going to keep that or approach. He's going to keep that close to the vest. We're waiting to see what's going to happen with Wisconsin. Olave Sagopolo is probably out of the game. Their nose tackle. Arm injury, no surprise. Everyone assumed he was probably going to be out anyway, and it looks like he is out. Alex Hornibrook, their quarterback, is in concussion protocol for the second time in 3 weeks. If he does not go, then Jack Cohn, a guy that they have been trying to nurse through this season, had only four games, so they can keep the eligibility number where they need it. And he's still under the mark, by the way. But he might be the guy that has to start in this game. So we'll see about that. And there's a couple other guys that are banged up for them, too. But they play a different, they play a lot the same style in some ways as Michigan. Defensively, not quite the same. There are 3-4 odd front. They'll play a lot of, Oklahoma 52 and two really good linebackers in T.J. Edwards and Ryan Conley. Good players. So that's what they have. We have our high school football roundtable coming up. We have both Lewisburg and Selinsgrove Grove won on over the weekend. Selinsgrove Grove Friday night, Lewisburg on Saturday night. So now they make another step. And Sean and I yesterday had a terrific time in the after show yesterday.
We did.
Well, we got no help at all. None.
No, we tried. We're working on it.
You and I tried.
Well, we tried.
Got no. No, I just want to tell you straight, I miss Harry. All right, so Roger, I miss Harry. Guy filling in, not getting it done.
Working on a project that hopefully is going to pay off some dividends here in a couple of weeks. So
we're hoping.
We'll stick to it.
Oh, I know we'll stick to it. I just felt bad because the guy was trying to help us out here, so I kind of felt like you and I dragged him away from a $1 million deal. Every once in a while, I'll call up Jack, and you'll say, okay, well, okay, got to make it fast. I'm working on a couple $1 million deals right now. I'll say, really? I said, then why'd you pick up the phone? He goes, well, it may not have been as big as I was claiming.
Run that past him the next time he calls you up.
Well, he knows better. I'm not working on $8 million deals. I mean, that one, he can make an assumption right away. That's not happening.
Yeah, the reply back, you'll probably get,
yeah, exactly. Well, today, he calls me up. And I said, hey, how you doing? He goes, you called me. I said, I did? He goes, yeah. Well, I look at my phone, I said, I feel awful about this. I must have, quote, butt-dialed you. And he says, you know, we're really close friends, you know, Steve. I said, yeah. He says, but that doesn't do much to forward the friendship. And I said to him, I said, the expression butt-dialing, I said, doesn't sound good, does it? He said, no.
Especially connecting it to an NFL legend. So, you know.
Well, see, I don't look at it the same way as the rest of you do. Okay. All right. But then we ended up talking for 20 minutes. So, it's like, yeah, because, yeah, there are certain things we ended up talking about anyway. There'll be a lot more we'll talk about tomorrow, but he says, well, since you're on the phone. I said, yeah, okay. He started going through a series of things. It's like, I said, I feel awful about this. I said, I must have. I said, it probably wasn't the best expression to use. All right. Look, we still have fun.
We do. Right.
We still have fun. Everybody's down right now and everything. Everybody should be fired, replaced, benched.
EJ Manuel wants his job back in Buffalo. He thinks that Nathan Peterman's getting too much extra treatment. Too many second, third, fourth, fifth chances.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
I mean, he works for a horror show. I mean, EJ Manuel, he's one of those guys that when he got drafted, with all due respect to him, I mean, I thought he'd be drafted. But as a first-round pick, I couldn't believe Buffalo picked him.
Yeah, he was, what, 12th in that round, opening round that year?
Yeah, something like that, right around that number. And I'm sitting there like, why did they draft him?
They moved up to get him, didn't they?
And it was Doug Marrone who drafted him, who's now the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Marrone had left Syracuse to take the Bills' job. And a lot of people thought he'd take Nassib, Carl Nassib's brother, Ryan. And I remember the night they took E.J. Manuel, I think I had a speaking engagement that night in Newcastle. And I'm driving back on 80, and they're announcing it on. I'm like, what? They took who? Why? Why? So, all right. That's. He can complain about Nathan Peterman all he wants, but guess what? They're far more similar than they are than they are different. So, oh well. So the game with Wisconsin's coming up. We're going to talk about the Steelers a little bit today. Let's see. Then we got Mike Muscala's on Thursday.
That's right. That right? Thursday, 4:06 after we do the roundtable. Mm-hmm. And we've got Tony Knopp lined up again for next week.
Now, Tony and I are going to get into, right out of the gate, about the financials and the potential economic windfall of moving from 4 to 8 teams in the college football playoff. And what it would mean for college sports, and what it would, not just for college football, it's what it means for college sports. Because every time you see stuff like this, oh, look at the money here, oh, look at the money there, all that money is going all over the place. Everyone acts as if it's all just going into the football funnel, and Okay, make a bigger stadium. Okay, make a better locker room. Okay, you know, and the poor players, it's on their back. That's not how intercollegiate athletics works. You know what's really interesting about my job is that when you do this job and they open the door and they let you in. So I'm at every practice. You know, I've been to team meetings, football, basketball, whatever. Okay. You travel on the plane with them, you travel back. All right. So you get a perspective. You know what I found interesting about this, Sean? Is that before I got into this, I had a preconception about, like anybody, as to how it worked. And then once you get at least some access, you find out that some of it is exactly as you expected, and some of it isn't. And that's very difficult at times to explain to the fans the parts that aren't quite what they think it is. You'll get questions. You'll think to yourself, well, that's not quite how it works. Now, you want to make sure you give a good, solid answer to somebody so they're getting the real story. And you want to make sure you're doing it in such a way where people don't think you're giving them some line. I'll give you one. I was asking the pregame show about Trace last week, and I said Trace took every single rep in practice. That's because Trace did take every single rep last week in practice. It was not a rep he got pulled Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. None. He took everything he was supposed to take like he does every single week. So that's why people have asked about, how hurt he is, how injured he is, and so forth, except you watch him practice, he's taking exactly the same reps he always takes. Now, is some of it maybe affecting him in terms of play? Could be. Is some of it affecting him in terms of maybe I'll run less? Could be. Is it affecting him maybe a little bit with him stepping into a throw? Could be. But, that's something you're going to have to ask him. But in terms of the ability to, because I've been around practices where a veteran has not taken reps during the week of practice. And then all of a sudden on Thursday, then they'll take a few because as a veteran, they know the play, they know how to do it. The most important part was getting them healthy. They already know how to do their job. So I've seen that in the past where all of a sudden, Sunday, limited. Tuesday, Wednesday, limited. All of a sudden, Thursday, boom, you're back. I've seen that happen over the years to many guys where that's happened, especially later in the year. But this was a case where, Trace McSorley last week, he took every rep. So what are you supposed to think about a guy who's taking every rep? You're supposed to think that, hey, look, the medical staff has him cleared and he's ready to go. Right? And there's so many things about this that aren't quite what people think it is. And the one I always found, difficult in terms of making sure I was very respectful in my answer was years ago. Remember, Penn State played a couple of walk-ons at linebacker. And somebody said, why don't they play the best players? Now, I'm standing there all the time at practice. I mean, at some point, you do have some semblance of being able to figure out who the better players are, okay? And they look at you funny when you say they are playing the best players because a guy comes in with a mono stars versus somebody that's a walk-on. There's no way the guy with stars should be on the bench versus the walk-on, except if the guy with the stars isn't picking up how to play because everybody's on their own clock. Doesn't mean they eventually won't, but everybody gets on their own clock, and some guys can pick it up quickly and other people can't. It's the way it is because now you're facing comparable competition. I have not one time seen them play a guy, okay, where, well, the backup's way better, the backup should be playing. Now, in terms of watching practice, you know, in terms of watching for mistakes, where they're supposed to be, positioning, things like that. Now, at some point during the course of a year, can somebody pass somebody out? No question. So no question as a year goes, somebody can pass out somebody. Seen it happen. Sometimes it takes a couple weeks. Sometimes it takes a couple months. But you can see at times, okay, where X is ready to pass Y in the depth chart. And you can see it. But there will be other times, especially early in the year, why is he not playing? You know, well, the other guy right now is practicing better. Ah, that's a bunch of... Okay. When you were standing on the practice field, you thought the other... I'm not on the practice field. Then how can you say he should be playing? Like I said, when you're there, I completely understand all the questions, all of them. All right? But there are also some times where, you know, it's... Sometimes it's not quite what some people think it is. Like the rah-rah part of it. I think everyone thinks you give this emotional talk and you fly out of that locker room and here we go! And, you know, you do know what happens for about 10 minutes after you fly out of the locker room. Nothing. You don't fly out of the locker room, line up, and get going. You run out there, you get down, you get on the sideline, the whole thing. They toss the coin, there's a national anthem. It's not quite, like I said, it's not quite what people think it is sometimes. All right, we will take a break. Come back with more in a moment. Boy. Just want to let you know, Harry, as you listen to this, how appreciated you were last night. Just weren't getting any help. No help. None. Did you notice the lack of help we got last night?
Arms were crossed. Head nodded.
Well, you kept thinking about his next TV game. We didn't really matter. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. It's election day, so get out there and vote. I know the eighth time I went today, they, you know, made the process much faster. They knew me right away. What?
Nothing. Yes, exercise your right. We will have complete election coverage tonight starting after 7 here on WKOK, and we'll have hourly updates on the race for governor and much more. Of course, the numbers will roll in after the polls close. We'll put them up at WKOK.com as we get them.
Is everything stable and okay in the second ward of Danville or whatever it is?
I haven't heard anything out of the ordinary going down there today. So far, so good.
He still hasn't recovered from the time I asked him on the air if he ever voted to raise taxes.
Instant classic. We'll find that clip and play it on a loop on December 5th at the party.
Well, the answer was classic. I'm thinking to myself, man, it must have been several times.
He's sounding like some political figure from the 70s. That's like, what? It's like, man, we flared up a gene.
Oh. Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy. Okay.
Sued and Matt Catrillo, by the way. They will be at Bucknell Georgetown down in D.C. Saturday. That'll be on Eagle 107, 12:30 kick.
That's because Doug has basketball, right?
That's right. Home opener at Soika for Bucknell Hoops. That's Saturday night, Fairfield. Mm. And their season starts on the road tomorrow night at St. Bonaventure. Of course, you can catch all that over on Eagle 107.
And nothing like a bus trip to Olean.
Yes, indeedy.
Now,
this will literally be a home game for Nate Sestina, and he'll be filling the big shoes that Nana Fallon had for 4 years. So, Nate will get his start tomorrow night. Emporium, pride and joy of Emporium. So, literally a home game for him tomorrow night as he starts at center for Bucknell.
Well, interesting, because obviously, you know, Nathan Davis is on our show every week, but I'm good friends with Mark Schmidt, who's the St. Bonaventure coach. Schmidt was here as an assistant coach years ago. The thick New England accent is. He still has it. He's never lost it. It got to the point in the Atlantic that Bruce Parkhill never enjoyed going to Olean. We used to stay at this place called the Castle Inn, which was across the street from the St. Bonaventure campus. And it had this old Swiss Guard decor. It's hanging over your bed. I kept thinking I was going to get lanced in the middle of the night. You'd have to take towels and stuff the towels underneath under the door because it was so cold. So finally, Bruce had enough. We'd have been up there, I don't know, because he had to play up there every year. I don't know, 4 years in a row, whatever. But Bruce had had enough. So it was the one trip where we'd get on the bus in the morning, go play the game, get back on the bus, and go back that night. He wouldn't stay. He would not stay overnight. Like, for the fifth year on, he would not stay overnight in Olean. Oh, my goodness.
I remember driving past St. Bonaventure only one time. Deb and I took a trip to Niagara Falls about 25 years ago. And I remember seeing, it must have been like not the bell tower, but like the tallest building on campus. That was just, for some reason, that was the one thing that kind of resonated when I went through Olean and by St. Bonaventure. Oh, that must be like the signature building on campus as we were making our way to and from Niagara Falls. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I mean, the Riley Center is a nice place, the whole deal. I mean, you know, I like it. Done a good job. Isaiah Brockington, who transferred from St. Bonaventure to Penn State, has been a big plus in Penn State's practices. He gives an athleticism that gives him a really good look right now because he has to sit out the year. Now, for the Penn State basketball part of it, on the show Thursday night, James Franklin will be in the second half of the show. The first half of the show is going to be Patrick Chambers. So we'll go basketball, football on Thursday night with that show. Okay, a couple of notes. Let's talk about some of the young players. We're now getting to the stage of the season where you're wondering if we'll see some players that might redshirt but still are allowed to play. There's certain guys that are already over that line. P.J. Mustipher, Kevin Pinniger, Micah Parsons, or Jake Pinniger, Micah Parsons, Ricky Slade, Pat Freiermuth. They're already over their number right now. So what about others? Justin Shorter, for example, whom, in my opinion, has been getting better and better in practice as time goes, still has 3 games to go. Now, do you want to use him this weekend? Or do you want to say, okay, all right, then you got Rutgers-Maryland bowl game. You use him 3 there, you know, so you can do that. So you got to make a decision there. Daniel George, the other wideout, I think people assume he has 3 games. He does not. He has 2 remaining. He played in the Kent State game, but remember when Juwan Johnson and DeAndre Tompkins got hurt against Indiana, George got into that game, so he has 2 left. Jason Owe played against Kent State, and he played against Illinois. He's got 2 left. Nick Tarburton played against Appalachian State and against Pitt. He's got 2 left. Let's see. Trent Gordon played against Kent State. That's been it. The corner has 3 left. So those are a few guys that I'm looking at and asking openly whether the door is open for them playing more. If you want to see maybe Rasheed Wheeler, for example. He's only played one game at that tackle spot. Judge Culpepper hasn't played at all. I think Judge is getting a little bit better as time goes, but Judge Culpepper hasn't played at all yet. So he's got four games left. They want to use him. So if you're wondering, look, and you do not want to get into this scenario, remember, you can't cut off your nose to spite your face, despite the fact that that's the motto of digital media. Right? You can't cut off your nose to spite your face. Okay? Say, okay, that's it. Play shorter, play George. You gotta win this game. I understand that sentiment completely. I understand the sentiment completely. But it does then bring with it a down-the-road problem. Right now, down the road, you have Mack Hippenhammer, Cam Sullivan Brown, KJ Hamler, all as redshirt freshmen. You are now playing Jahan Dotson, who's a true freshman. That means you have four players in the wide receiver group at this moment that are all on the same clock. If you're forced to do something, you have to do it. Right? Injuries happen, whatever. Shorter and George, you'd like to keep them on a separate clock because it's important to not... Okay, play George, play Shorter. Now you got six guys on the same clock. Well, if you got six guys on the same clock, there's going to come a recruiting moment where you have to replace all six at the same time. Now, you may do it, you know, in a couple of increments, but you may speed up your process on recruiting guys in that spot, knowing you're going to lose all six at the same time. Right now, the potential is to lose four of them at the same time, along with the tight end Pat Freiermuth. So that's where you do have to be smart about how you manage the games and how you manage their clocks, because you don't want to get into that position where all of a sudden you've got one big position group that is exiting all at once. Now, obviously, over time in recruiting, you're going to replace them here and there. But to have all six leave at once would not be beneficial to the program. So you have to think about those things when you're doing it. And that's where having to manage this four games, I love the rule. But I also think that since nobody's used to the rule, I think everybody is trying to figure out in their own way how to use it. And also, you can't be playing guys until they're ready to play. That's an important part. You can't play guys until they're ready to play. You just can't say, hey, he's a four-star guy, get him in there. You can't do that. Sometimes it takes certain guys a little bit longer in their transition to get there. Some can do it right away. All credit to them. All credit to them. Some take a little bit longer. And finally everything falls into place and they can play for you. Okay. But that is, I think that's something that's very important in terms of the ability to manage the situation. Now with Dotson, you know, Dotson was terrific over and over and over again. You could just see in practice how easy it was for him to play, to the point where you've got to be able to, you know, you ask yourself, is it really that easy? Because of how he plays? And it turns out that when you put him in a game, he plays the same way. So I think that is, you know, you have to make decisions based on how deep the position is that you have. You have to make it on need. You also have to make it as to whether they're physically and emotionally ready to go through the preparation needed to play in the game, then play in it. And, of course, the injury factor comes into play. And because of the guys I just talked about, yeah, like let's take Trent Gordon. Trent Gordon, I think, is going to be a really good corner here. I think he's going to be a good player. You know, Mike is going to be a really good player. I think Tarburton is going to be a good player here. I think Jason Owe has a chance to be outstanding here once he gets his opportunity, because Jason Owe is still learning how to play football. You know, Mustafer is going to be really good here eventually. I know in some ways it looks like he's plateaued a bit out there, but eventually he's going to be really good. I think Culpepper has a chance to be good here. You know, not now, but down the road. He has a chance to be. I think you look at Wheeler, pretty good. I mean, I think Wheeler has a chance to be a good player here. I'll give you one that I think has done a good job as a youngster is Juice Scruggs. Juice Scruggs has had some moments during the course of the season on that scout team, playing the offensive line. You know, Freiermuth has obviously already established himself. Freiermuth's a big-time player. I don't think there's anything getting around it. I really like the three young wide receivers a lot. I like Daniel George a lot. I like Justin Shorter a lot. And obviously, you see Dotson playing all the time. I really like those guys. I think Ricky Slade's going to be a really good player here. You can just see he's got that burst. But to the credit of Journey Brown has stepped in. You watch Journey Brown practice. Journey Brown, I'll tell you, the area where Journey Brown's become a lot better, Journey Brown's become a lot better as a pass receiver. Now, he's not out there running routes, but good hands, doesn't think about it when he's catching the ball and just goes. So, I mean, these are some of the young players that you have not had a chance to see a lot of yet. Some you've seen, Mustafer, Freiermuth, guys like that. Dotson. Micah, obviously. Micah's best games are still to come. And, you know, now you're going to need some of the veterans to step up here. I'll give you one. I think that Yetur Gross-Matos is playing really well. Sharif Miller can give you, you know, Sharif Miller's capable of even more on the other side. Sharif's a good player. And it'd be important to see him kicking into another gear here down the stretch, because I think that can help them. But those are just some of the guys that I look at and I watch them play. I tell you, a good player. Now, obviously, Jan Johnson's done a good job in the middle. Ellis Brooks has done pretty well when he's been out there. And it's interesting we're talking about this, and of course, Penn State lost the game 42-7. They haven't been in this spot in 2.5 years where they've been, because all the other losses were by 4 points or less. 4 points or less in 2.5 years. Now, those are frustrating and maddening in their own way. Obviously, this now, you know, you get something like this that happens to a team, and you get, you know, obviously you've got reaction and occasionally overreaction. Occasionally. We will come back with more in a moment. Neil Coulon still to come on the Steelers here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Tim Brando of Fox Sports.
A guy like Ricky Ronnie's taken over for Moorhead. So much of what was good about what Moorhead did is still there, but Ronnie's being an old Cornell quarterback, he's got some little twists and turns of his own that he's instituted. You know, I think it's a refreshing offense to look at right now.
The Steve Jones Show, 3 to 5 weekdays on News Radio 1070 WKOK and on the WKOK app.
Do cool along in the next half hour. We'll talk about the Steelers. Troy asked a question yesterday about the Steeler offensive line, which I answered. But I posed the same question to Neil about whether he thinks the offensive line is playing better this year. And so we'll get to that in the next half hour and get Neil's take on that. Looking forward to it very much. The college football playoff snapshot comes out tonight. In all likelihood, Michigan will get into the four spot. Alabama 1, Clemson 2, Notre Dame 3, Michigan 4. Although I think it's going to be pretty close. But I think Michigan's going to be able to get through in this week's snapshot. And, you look at, obviously, you've got Georgia would be in the five spot. But to me, though, believe it or not, Alabama, by the way, is going to be in the SEC championship game. Did you know this, John? Alabama, when they beat LSU, clinched the Western Division on Saturday night. They got three games left.
And the funny part is, when Nick Saban was interviewed on the field by Jamie Erdahl, he goes, "I thought we needed one more win." He had no idea they clinched.
Yeah. And I don't blame him, because it was, you're looking at November 3rd. You're not thinking that, you can clinch that early. It's like in 1994 when Penn State had the great rally at Illinois to win 35-31. Penn State clinched the Big Ten that night. They still had two regular season games remaining. So, that's what I'm looking at. ESPN's strength of record metric has been one of the most reliable indicators of semifinalists, as 15 of the past 16 teams have gone to the playoff, including all 12 teams in the past 3 years ranked in the top four in their strength of record metric. Georgia is number four in that metric. Michigan is five. Now, it's irrelevant because if Georgia continues on its path, they would play Alabama in the SEC championship game. Guess what? You're going to lose. One team will lose. And if it's Georgia, they're out of it. Look, I'm fine with metrics, but you know what? I don't know.
In the end, it all boils down to what you do on the field.
Oh, for goodness sakes. I'm smart enough to sit there and look at TVs, for goodness sakes, watch games and figure out who's good and who's not. Come on. Do I need a strength of record metric to tell me? Come on. Yeah, here's one. Is one loss Oklahoma still ahead of one loss West Virginia? Irrelevant. They play each other Thanksgiving weekend. Who cares?
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.